It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Most of us eat food that comes from all over the world, but supporting local food production for all kinds of reasons is a growingly popular idea. Of course, it's not always possible. Some foods only grow in the tropics or Mediterranean climates. On the other hand, local farmers markets and certain supermarkets and lots of farm-to-table restaurants are making it possible to find more local foods than ever. There's some confusion about what actually is local, since some say it's up to 350 miles away, and others say 50 miles. Well, would it be possible to draw that circle even smaller and source entirely within city limits? That's the idea behind Food City, a short film about creating a hyper-local meal with every item farmed, fished, or foraged within the city limits of New York City. Film directors Matthew Fleischman and Lars Fuchs set out to discover the rich diversity of fish, fowl, and produce grown in the five boroughs of New York, and to ultimately serve a four-course meal for eight lucky guests. Matt and Lars flew from New York to the Sacramento Food Film Festival, where their film was featured at this festival sponsored by the Food Literacy Center. Following local food bites from top farm-to-fork chefs, presentation of featured films, and a discussion with the food lovers in attendance, we join Matt and Lars backstage to discuss their journey to create a hyper-local meal.
Hi, my name is Matthew Fleischman. I'm a paralegal based in New York at the moment, and I went to a Master's of Filmmaking program with my co-producer who's here, Lars Fuchs.
And so what have you learned from working with Lars?
I've learned so much from working with Lars. Lars has extensive experience editing in film and television, so I've learned a lot about the post-production process, but also the process of making a film and collaborating so closely with someone, what I'm capable of, and how to create a story from beginning to end.
So, Lars, you described yourself as a snarky New Yorker, and you made it sound like you're getting into this whole project of doing a short film on about food, that you were a little cynical about it at first, or kind of looking for a strange angle, and in the process, it sounded like you became a true believer.
Well, that's partially true. Yes, I was a bit of a snarky New Yorker. I think I still am. I think I was more cynical then than I am now. My colleague Matthew, who you just spoke with, he was the one who really turned me on to this idea of eating locally and thinking carefully about sustainable food choices. And he was very earnest about it, still is. And, you know, my reaction to earnestness is a bit of sarcasm. But, of course,
that's the New York part.
That might be the New York thing. Maybe it's just a me thing. I don't know. But having now worked through the film and learned about local food and about the carbon footprint of food that's imported from far away and all of these many issues that are involved in food production, I now care very much about where my food comes from, and I do think about the sustainability issues of the food. So I have become far more earnest than I was, and I am much less cynical than I was then, and I really credit Matthew for that.
So Matthew, did you started this idea? Were you the first one that had the idea that you wanted to do a film about local food production?
Well, Lars and I started in a documentary group, and he was actually the writer, director, and I was the editor. So it was his role to come up with the idea for the story, but I was sort of the inspiration. So Lars, knowing that I like to eat sustainable and local, I care about where my food comes from, was inspired by that to make the story, but have a little bit of a snarky twist to it, like you said.
So let's start at the very top and say that the film is called what?
It's Food City, Feast of the Five Boroughs.
Feast of the Five Boroughs. So it's New York City.
It's strictly food from within the five boroughs of New York City.
So are you guys sitting around like having a pizza and a beer or something after a class or a program or something, and this little bubble goes off above your brain that, you know, it's just like, ah, I got it. We're going to do this.
No, the idea was born in panic. Matthew mentioned that we were in the master's program, and we had been assigned as a team to create a five-minute documentary for part of our grade. And I had pitched an idea for a project, and we were all set to do that. But the subject, it was going to be a biopic, five-minute bio thing about a street artist. He ended up going to jail. So I had to come up with a new idea on the spot. I'm riding the bus to campus. I'm about to pitch to the new idea to class. I don't have one. And so I think, you know, Matt's locavorism and awareness of local foods, he had done a short project about a rooftop farm. I think that was just rattling around in my brain, and my previous experience as a reality editor just said, let me turn locavorism into a reality challenge. And I was like, okay, I'm going with that. That's what I got. I don't have time to come up with another idea. Matt heard it, liked it, class liked it, and next thing you know, here we are.
So you're going to make a film. You've decided, and it's going to be local. So what comes first? I mean, do you start sketching out storyboards or something, or do you script out the whole idea and then start shooting it?
Well, a documentary, creating a documentary film is much different than a fiction film, which you do a lot of pre-production, and you do it, I think, a little bit more orderly. With a documentary, yes, there's pre-production, there's a lot of brainstorming, writing of the treatment, research, which we did do, but you also have to just start shooting. You have to find your subject and shoot as you research. So that's what we did, and we went to one of our first shoots, which was also a research assignment for us, was to go to the Union Square Farmers Market to find food sources as well as to shoot those sources. So we have content and we have research.
I love that farmers market. And some of the best chefs in New York.
It's the largest in the city.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I've been there before. And you stand around there and talk to them. But there is a challenge in that New York farmers market, or in the Union Square Farmers Market. And that is, a lot of it's coming from upstate New York. Mm-hmm. But you guys had the premise of this film that it was going to be from the city. So, like you say, the five boroughs of New York. And so there's not a lot in that farmer's market that are just from the five boroughs. I can't remember what I've seen there.
Correct.
That's correct. The only things that are that I'm aware of at the moment, there's the Queens County Farm Museum, and I want to give a huge shout-out to the people at the Queens County Farm Museum. They're a wonderful institution. They're organized under the Parks Department, and they're kind of an educational teaching farm, but that's been an operational farm since the 1600s. They sell their produce.
1600s?
Like 1680 or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been there as a farm, not under one ownership, it's been a farm for a long time. And they're running a wonderful program out there, and they really helped us out a lot. So big shout out to them. Also, they're selling their produce on Fridays at the market. And then there are beekeepers who sell their honey from hives inside New York City. So those are the only two that I'm aware of that are hyper-local.
And then Stuart Borowski.
Oh, that's correct. Of course, obviously. He's in our film. Right. Stuart Borowski grows microgreens in Brooklyn.
Where? I mean, is it a street on this?
He has a warehouse space, and in the warehouse space, he's able to control the climate, the moisture, the humidity, the temperature, and the lighting. So he's able to grow a lot more in a smaller space, and then sell his produce at the market.
And yeah, he at the time we were filming him, he was in the Gowanus area of Brooklyn. He's now moved to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
You know, we had to jump ahead to the big premise here, too, and that is the goal in the end. You're kind of showing you could put it all together, but it's going to be a meal, and somebody's going to make the meal. So you're starting to find all this food, and then was it a chef that became a partner with you? Who would actually take all of whatever you can gather up from New York and have this dinner?
So we got very lucky in that department. We also, at the Union Square Farmers Market, we encountered a chef by the name of Sarah Thompson, who was doing a cooking demonstration, and we approached her to say, would you like to help us make this meal? She was instantly on board. She was enthusiastic about the project. She's very charismatic on film, and coincidentally, she makes her own salt. So we actually also found a another ingredient for our meal through her. And it couldn't have worked out better for us.
This whole salt thing. I mean, you actually go to the ocean or the water that's there, the salt water, and take the water out of it and salt's left. Is that basically it?
So that's actually right. So Sarah, and that's really what cemented our friendship, was she heard us talk about salt.
Yeah.
And I knew starting out this project, the only ingredient I was 100% certain we could get was salt, because I knew I could make that. And when she heard that, she was on board. So she had built these very well-designed evaporators where she evaporates the seawater. She filters it and then evaporates the seawater in these trays. I was lazy, so I cooked our salt. So I went. We got water, salt water from various beaches around the city, and I cooked it at home. I made I boiled it down to like a very, very thick slurry, and then I spread it thin in aluminum pans and cooked it in the oven for a very low heat. And it does give a different flake. And I filtered that too through a lot of coffee filters before we did that.
So you're out gathering all this stuff, and we need to get more details of what that is and what's actually called, foraging, and you're getting mushrooms. And I mean, one thing I wondered about when I was watching the film is you don't get that all in one day. So, I mean, when you might find this stuff, or you got the mushrooms and you get a chicken lined up and whatever, were you able to freeze it or keep it in the cooler so you could kind of put it all together?
So one of my favorite takeaways from that process is we used the sea salt that we'd made to lacto-ferment the early vegetables like the carrots and the cucumbers, the beets, a number of the vegetables we fermented. We made pickles.
Some of the things we were able to freeze, like tomatoes and berries.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. And so you preserve the freshness, and it's just frozen, and then you can bring it all together. Now let's talk real quickly about this foraging part. I kind of know what foraging is, but for somebody that's listening that isn't, how would you describe foraging? It's kind of a foreign concept.
Foraging is simply finding things that grow around you that you could eat, and it really doesn't get much more simple than that. The difficulty is knowing which ones you can eat and which ones you can't eat, and that is education that you can find in a variety of ways, from going with a group of experienced people to researching it through books and internet. We, being in New York City, are lucky enough to have a whole variety of expert foragers, from people who know about mushrooms to people who know about plants and berries and so on.
So some of these things, can you go to Central Park and find some stuff in Central Park that you'd be able to use?
Yes,
absolutely. It's the biggest place I know of.
Absolutely. In Central Park, you can find a dozen different types of berries. You can find all sorts of leafy green vegetables that are edible. You can find mushrooms right under your nose in Central Park. People don't even know they're growing there, and they're delicious.
And one of my favorites, black walnuts.
Oh, I grew up around black walnuts. I know what you mean, but they really do stain your hands. But they are delicious.
In Central Park, you can find wineberries, juneberries, mulberries, raspberries, blackberries. You can find sassafras. You can find
spicebush,
clover, wood sorrel. You can find all a variety of different types of mushrooms, chicken of the woods, maitake mushrooms, all these things grow. Cherries, everything.
Now, chickens, let's talk about a protein then. That would have been kind of tough, but to find chickens to consume. I guess there are chickens that are laying eggs in New York.
So there was a time under the Giuliani administration where chicken keeping had been banned in New York City. The Bloomberg administration rescinded that ban, and so people were keeping chickens in their backyards. But roosters were banned on account of noise. That ban remained. So we were being very strict about what was allowed in our film. Chickens who were born out of the city but simply raised in New York didn't count. We wanted chickens that were true New Yorkers, born and raised in New York. Luckily, we found that the Queens County Farm, and this is one of the many ways in which they were helpful to us. They have hens and roosters on their property and have eggs, fertilized eggs and so on their property. And so we were able to get some hens from them.
And you had fish. So you actually went out fishing. And, right. And was you just throw a line in the Hudson River or something? Or?
Well, you could charter fishing boats out into the waters around New York City and New York Harbor. Jamaica Bay, which is in Brooklyn and Queens, is a 10,000-acre protected wildlife refuge, and that's where we found good, clean fish to eat.
That's fantastic. Now, two quick things. One is describe the meal. When it all came together, what was can you give a general overview of what was seated. When everybody sits down, they're going to have this meal now. Mm. What's in the meal?
So we had asked Sarah to come up with four courses, and she surprised us by coming up with five. The first course was an amuse-bouche, which was confit chicken hearts, a pea shoot pesto, watermelon radish, and something else.
There was Jerusalem artichokes and a chicken liver pate as well, all in the amuse-bouche.
Wow.
And then the second course?
The second course was a soup course, which was a mushroom consomme with three different types of mushrooms, enoki, chicken of the woods, and one other type of mushroom, all from Inwood Park, along with some wild park onions.
That's fantastic.
Then she served the bluefish from Jamaica Bay that had been seared in the chicken fat, rendered from the chickens that we'd gotten, and served that
with a fish sauce that she had made by using the salt that we had made and the fish head.
So that's all it was fish heads and tails, fish heads and fins, fermented in salt. And also she'd made a chutney from the lacto-fermented pickled vegetables that we made.
That sounds really, really delicious. I would imagine, well, you filmed it, so people are going to be able to see the film. Now let's just end up on the film itself. Mm-hmm. So we're describing how this was made. If anybody wants to see it, how does that happen?
They can go to Food Matters TV. I can give you the URL later. Food Matters TV is a video on demand service that has thousands of health and nutrition related films and documentaries. And ours is on there as well. And I'll give you the web address that you can
I'll post it with the description.
Food Matters TV is a wonderful video on demand service that's sort of like the Netflix for food films and health and wellness films. So if your listeners are into that, then they'll like the channel.
So I have to let the cat out of the bag here, and that is in this large audience that heard you tonight in Sacramento, somebody asked you the question, would you ever consider doing this in Sacramento? And it sounded like you would. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
We would love to. We love your city. We hear that there's a lot of great food that grows right here in the city limits, and we would love to collaborate with other people, especially with Amber and her group at the Food Literacy Project, and maybe some of the kids there would like to make the film as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. We also have people listening all over the United States and even outside of the United States, and maybe they want you to come to their city and do a film about how putting a whole meal together locally. Is there an easy way or a website that they can get a hold of you guys?
Feastofthefiveboroughs.com.
Okay. And so if somebody's out there and deciding, I need this in Peoria, Illinois, you guys could go to Peoria.
Certainly.
And do it. So
our contact information is available on FoodCityFeastOfTheFiveBoroughs.com.
And we have a Facebook page.
And we're on Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was really an enjoyable and interesting and informative film. And it made a lot of people excited about what you can actually do and not just talk about locavore. You can't get any more local than you guys made it. So congratulations on
thank
the film.
You. It was a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.